Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Indiana has come here to East Lansing, and it's been the story of recently. They're going to walk out with a loss. Since 92, 25 trips here to East Lansing, just two wins. As Hogard now with 22, Tyson Walker with 23 to lead Michigan State. And moments ago, Tom Izzo shakes hands with Mike Woodson. As you talked about it, man, look at the weight of the world on his shoulders, man.
Brian Custer with the call on ESPN last night, worked the game with Jay Billis. Michigan State's first home men's basketball game since the tragedy of the shooting on that campus at Michigan State. And the Spartans, after playing from behind a good chunk of the night, then really put the pedal to the floor in the second half and won over Indiana last night. And Indiana had won 9 of its last 11 coming into that game. So great win, an emotional win for Michigan State last night at the Breslin Center. Penn State tomorrow night plays at Ohio State. That'll be a 6:30 start, 6 o'clock airtime. Ohio State has not ruled out Zed Key for the game, but I've got a feeling that based on what Chris Holtmann said on his talk show last night, it doesn't sound like Zed Key is on a pathway to being not just in the game, but has a pathway right now to be in the mix the rest of the way. And that's what you've got to, you know, which is too bad for him. You're talking about a team that, with him in the lineup, was 10-3 healthy. I'm talking about healthy. So when Zed Key was in the lineup, healthy, they were 10-3. And then he got hurt on January 5th. That's when he first re-injured that shoulder. Remember last year, he sat out some games last year, including the Big Ten tournament game against Penn State in Indianapolis that the Nittany Lions won. And that is, it's an area where Ohio State is a bit thin right now. Akpar will probably be the one that would get the start if Key can't go. But that is the issue for Michigan State. They don't quite have, Ohio State. That is an area where they feel they're going to have more depth there next year, but this isn't next year. And so Zed Key has been one of the critical pieces for them when healthy. And I believe, it just came out. He has been shut down for the remainder of the season. So Zed Key is not going to play. So he has played his final game. The Columbus Dispatch put out the story. He will not return to game action And Chris Holtman said, look, we wanted to get him back on campus so the medical team could fully evaluate him. I think they didn't feel comfortable clearing him considering some of the continued issues with his shoulder. We had always intended for him to have surgery. This just moves the surgery up. So Zed Key, and this happened within the hour, has been shut down for the season for Ohio State. So I would expect Akpara to be the starter tomorrow night against Penn State. And Gene Brown would be another one as well that would be in the mix at center. So he's going to get the surgery. He's out for the season for Ohio State. Good player. I've always liked his game. Always have. Good, tough, physical, Big Ten body. Came into the conference with a Big Ten body. Nice game around the basket. Good rebounder. Good player. But now out for the season, thus means he will not play against Penn State tomorrow night. So we pass that along to you. For Penn State, on their side of it, they're healthy going in. At least as of last night's practice. Obviously, I'm not there tonight. I'll be joining them on the plane. But I do expect one by one, each one of them to walk past me and get set, you know, to play the game. It's a game Penn State needs. This is a quad one game. It's quad one, top 30 home, top 50 neutral, top 75 road, and Ohio State falls into that category. And no, Carlos Beltran will not be playing in the game. I only said that to make you angry.
Bingo!
You don't like Carlos Beltran?
Not really, no. And for the what few the... games he was in the Yes booth, I thought he stunk as an analyst.
Wow. Let's see here. So what's this speaking engagement you sent me here? How about that? If I can't go to it, can you fill in for me?
I probably could. This is a short drive for me, so.
No. I gotta. There's one thing I'm actually waiting on to see. Because I have committed to playing in the Big Ten announcer tournament. I just need the dates.
It's
normally in May. No, they have had it every year. Last year was in Iowa. Oh, I'm sorry. The last 2 years it's been in Iowa. And you want another? 1 year I couldn't go because of something with the kids, okay? Grandkids. Last year I didn't go because of the proximity. It's like, okay.
And this is golf, I assume?
Yes.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, like, for example, I mean, these guys kept saying, well, yeah, you got to go. I'm like, okay, I hear you. I mean, it even got to the point where Dave Ennett, who's one of the great guys on the planet, all right, Dave Ennett, had said, hey, why don't you fly to Chicago and then we can drive together? Jeez, Dave, I don't... I mean, seriously, that's what it got to be. And I was like, I don't know, Dave. I said, well, I already told Don Fisher I'm going. Okay. Because Don, I think, is going to host it, and it's going to be in the Indianapolis Bloomington area. Well, regardless of whatever, it's a relatively easy trip for me to make.
Okay.
So I told him I would do it. So that's but I need the dates, which I'll know by the time we get to the Big Ten tournament. Right. So that's why. So I will tell the good people at the Greater Susquehanna Valley, whatever, that if they can just hold off a couple of weeks, then I'll let them know definitively one way or the other. Because that's normally, believe it or not, timing-wise, that's normally about the time it takes place. But these guys like to hold it in the middle of the week.
Gotcha.
Let's hold it in the middle of the week. Okay, great. That way we don't have to go to work. So, there's something special about that. Yes. Yeah. So, plus, they would love to hear you. I mean, it would be a 45-minute speech of all rants.
I would make sure I have plenty of material, yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you show up to this show every day with plenty of material. I mean, there's stuff you hold back. I mean, my goodness. Come on, admit it, you hold stuff back.
Well, sometimes I do, yeah. But today I got everything out in the open.
Are you almost out of the bags I sent you?
Yes, I am, actually.
To breathe into? I'll have to bring a new set.
We've been slowly graduating to using less and less per day.
I don't know. Mommy, why does Daddy have paper bags?
And the kids can color on them afterwards, so it's all good.
Tremendous.
Now, who would be your biggest competition for this said golf tournament of all the Big Ten?
Oh, no, no, Don Fisher. No. Don Fisher is of Indiana.
He's the man to beat?
The dude can flat out play around the golf.
Okay.
Paul Keel's Ohio State, not bad. Gary Dolphin, very good with the beverage cart. So, you know.
See, I thought that'd be Johnny Holiday of Maryland.
Johnny can play.
Really? Okay.
No. Johnny can play golf. Johnny's
good for him.
Player. No, Johnny's a good player. Johnny's a really good player. So, yeah. Mike Grimm of Minnesota. He says, Steve, you can be in my group. I can't play. I said, really?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Matt LePay claims he's not a good player. I understand that he's a little bit better than he claims. He's from Wisconsin. But see, I committed to doing this. And to be honest with you, I want to go. I do want to go. So.
Yeah, middle of the week golf trip, or wouldn't?
Oh. We'll see what Fish comes up with. Because what Dolphin did, now this is what Dolphin did at Iowa. I'm talking like you were. The running joke we have is that when Dolphin hosts it from Iowa, you're on scholarship. You pay for nothing. you name it, these guys. Food, beverages, golf, staying, like it's all comped. Captain Cheapo didn't want to pay for the gas to drive out there. But it is Iowa. It's the middle of the country. I've been getting a lot of pressure from these people to play. Like, okay. But I want to play, so. All right. So. still have to talk a little bit about. I talked to Tony Knopp today. Tony's going to do the show on Monday, March 6th. And what's interesting about him doing the show is that Tony will do the show, and it should be about the time, like maybe a day or so, maybe 2 days ahead of George Kliavkov having to meet with the media because the Pac-12 basketball tournament begins in Las Vegas on the 8th. We're going to have Tony on the 6th. Look, the whole thing looks like it's on life support right now. And look, there are not landing spots. Everybody thinks there are landing spots. There are not really any landing spots right now. I really felt like when Ohio State canceled the two-game series with Washington, that was an ominous sign. I was like, no, we don't want to go out and play. Gave him $500,000 to get out of it. But this is what happened. When you have the Pac-12 was going along, okay, now the USC-UCLA thing happens, but they still had an opportunity 6 months ago to do something. And they kept, the part that mystified me the entire time, and you could tell by my tone on the show about it, was for some reason somebody thought that they could stop UCLA from going to the Big Ten. No, you can't stop UCLA from going to the Big Ten. If they elect as an athletic department to do it, they can. And that's what struck me the entire time. The athletic department decisions are normally autonomous in the California Board of Regents system. If that were the case, then UC Davis would be in the Pac-12. Berkeley would be, Northridge, they'd all be in the Pac-12. Well, no, they're not. They're all in different conferences. So UCLA can't elect to be in a different conference when their contract runs out? Of course they can. They're well within their legal rights to do it. They're waiting until their contract is up. They're waiting until their grant of rights are up. Then they're moving. And again, you look at all the state universities that are in the California system that are controlled by the California Board of Regents. Guess what? There's only two of them in the Pac-12, Cal and UCLA. All the other ones are in all different conferences. You can go anywhere you want. They elected, when their contract was up and their grant of rights were up, to go to the Big Ten. Yet they kept delaying and delaying, and he made promises to them that made no sense. When he threw out the $48 million per school figure, remember my reaction on the show? This was in September. I was like, what is he talking about? There was nobody that thought they were going to get more in the mid-30s, even with. Okay, they weren't going to get that number. And he told the Board of Regents that. He told them that. Really? And then the Big 12 did something that fouled up the Pac-12 completely. They jumped the line. Well, when they jumped the line, because their contract runs out later than the Pac-12's does, they jumped the line, they got a deal, 31.6, done. 31.6 per school, done. Well, the Board of Regents looked around and said, well, wait a minute, that's not 48. They just got Fox and ESPN, and they got 31.6. And everybody's hailing it as a great deal. That's when he started to lose them. Because, as I've said many times, how the California Board of Regents operates was an education for all of us. Conversely, how college sports and TV operates was a real education for the California Board of Regents. It went both ways. And now, he's stuck. He's stuck. And I mean, you're Oregon and Washington. You're sitting there, what do we do? And I don't think they don't have an answer. Yet the Washington State president was interviewed out on the coast. And was like, hey, everything's fine. We're good. I'm like, well, you're fine. You're good. I think you ought to interview the Oregon president. There's also another element, too. 9 of the 12 presidents in the Pac-12, they've had a lot of changeover in 5 years. 9 of 12 are new. I really thought for sure this would not end up being a, that the Pac-12 would not do well in their TV contracts, but they would get one to go with a grant of rights. I still think that's going to happen, but I'm starting to really have my doubts on a few, on a couple of fronts here. The ESPN, look, again, the 10,000-pound animal in the room is the NBA. Those rights are coming up, and you've got people saying, hey, look, where do I need to spend my money? The NBA is a must-have entity. The Pac-12 is a nice entity to have. There's a big difference. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a fabulous service department that makes it all pay off. It is at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. No, looks like we lined up Carlos Beltran to be on the show.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
Are you okay?
I'm good.
I mean, I thought you'd want to talk to him.
I'll talk to him. I'll say what's wrong with you. That's about it.
Hmm. Awfully bitter.
You know me, I can't tolerate stupid.
Is this another case where the guy didn't help you win?
Yeah, I guess in this case, especially. So, yeah.
Can you go through with any semblance of happiness in life if you're always mad?
I can. I am capable of doing that. These Let's are just little in. Roadblocks.
These are roadblocks?
Yes.
Makes it sound like Jersey barriers are up on the highway. What the heck? Well, all hail to Anthony Edwards, the first overall pick in the draft of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who basically says, hey, guys, I don't understand why you guys don't play in the NBA. And that, it is an issue they're going to have to solve. Look, if I'm a TV network, that's one of the things I look at them and say, hey, we'd like to do your games, but like we'd like to see your guys play.
You know, that's going to be fascinating of a negotiating ploy, because it's going to be so competitive to get the NBA next year, as we've been talking about throughout the week. But you also have this, too, to try and get an answer from the NBA. But at the same time, the NBA is going to know that there's going to be a lot of competition, so they're still going to put the money where your mouth is, so to speak. So that's just going to be interesting to see how the networks handle that.
Well, it'd be something I'd say, because there was a game, was it a year ago? The Sixers were playing the Nets?
Correct, yeah. Nobody of the big guns played. Irving couldn't play because of COVID, I think, still. Durant was hurt. I want to say Embiid was hurt at the time. Yeah.
Oh, they the Nets sat out 8 with load management.
That's right, yeah.
Right, and the Sixers
but included those players.
Right, and the Sixers sat out a couple with load management.
Right.
Like, really?
And it was the ESPN Wednesday game, Friday night game, whatever it was at the time.
I think it was a Wednesday game of the week.
Yeah.
I think it was a Wednesday game of the week. And you sit there and go, really? Hey, this is your TV partner. They're putting $1.6 billion, or like one, I think it might be $1.4 billion. You're putting $1.4 billion a year in, and so to carry games. Now, I realize that the creme de la creme is to have the conference final and then they have the NBA final. The finals. I got that. I understand that. That's what it's all about to them. But you got a regular season game. Hey, you sell the regular season too. You're an advertiser. Do you want to advertise on that? I mean, really?
Yeah, absolutely not.
I don't want to advertise on that. Like, I don't want to be sitting in front of my TV saying, okay, what school did he play for? Anybody here know who, like, these four guys are?
I mean, as I said last week or the week before, with my frustration with the NBA regular season, it's because not only do you have this load management issue, but I just think guys just don't care, period, even when they're playing the game. And when you have these group of your elite teams in both conferences, especially in the East, where they'll just toy with teams that they know that they're better than, sometimes even still lose to them. The Sixers have been guilty of that for a couple times this year. And even when you get to the first round, you'll still have teams that they know they're better than, the upper echelon teams, toying with their opponent, even though they'll still probably win in 4 or 5 games. It's like I feel like you don't see the full blown product until the conference semifinals every year. That's just me, but I just feel like that's how it goes now.
Well, see, here's the crusher of it. I mean, these are the best players in the world. I mean, college basketball does not compare to the NBA in terms of the quality of player. These are the best players in the world. Also, the style of play, to be honest with you, they've done a good job with the style of play in the NBA. And I give them a lot of credit for that, because the style of play is way better now in the NBA. So... And that's I mean, the pass, shoot. It was interesting because I think J.J. Redick, who's articulate, he's smart. I got the whole thing. But he says some stuff sometimes. You sit back and go, you know what? Like he was talking about... I think he and Chris Russo were... Russo said that Larry Bird was a better...
That was one of those stupid, ridiculous first take sticks just to get clicks. Yes.
Right.
I remember seeing this.
So they were doing that. Okay? Now, look, I watched a lot of Larry Bird. Larry Bird was a great 3-point shooter, but Steph Curry's the best 3-point shooter I've ever seen. Okay? All right? But Bird was a great 3-point shooter. And Bird also played a different position. He played forward. He had to go in. He had to mix it up. It was physical. And Redick was saying today is more physical than back then. No, JJ, no. It's not. You want to know why? Because the rules are a little different now. You want to talk about physical? Watch the 90s. Knicks playing Houston in the final. That's physical. It also, to me, needed to change. And I felt the changes they made to more passing, shooting, flow made it a better game. But don't tell me that back when Bird and Magic and Worthy and Rambis, right, and Kareem and Shaq, right, was less physical.
Yeah. Did he not watch Last Dance? What? No, there's nothing to do during COVID?
Right, but the rules were different then. They allowed more of that in the NBA. It's like, it's just, come on. I know you're doing things for clicks. I got it. All right? I got that. But some of the stuff, he's very smart, has a nice take on the modern game and the whole thing, but he doesn't. I mean, I guess even Dominique Wilkins was like, what are you talking about?
That's right. He did respond to that.
All right, and he wasn't saying that whether Bird was better or worse as a 3-point shooter. But he was talking about the physicality of the game. He says, "Yeah." He says, "We mixed it up way more." All right, and it's not a knock on today's game. The rules dictate you can't mix it up as much. Right? That's the issue. Whatever. I see stuff like that. I'm like, come on. And I know it's just all clear. That's why I don't watch that stuff. But like, things get sent to me. People will send me something. I'm like going, okay, great.
Exactly.
You know, do I have to watch this? Like, can I just read about it? Okay, I'll read about it. Because I don't want to hear it.
Well, there's the other thing, too, to be honest with you. In my opinion, ever since Chris Russo started he's on every Wednesday on First Take. I think he's tarnishing his career, and the more he does it, the more he loses credibility in my eye. He should have just kept the way he was. He had his time with Mike Francesa, Mike and the Mad Dog, and then he's got his Mad Dog radio thing on Sirius XM. Should have just left it at that. Now he's diving into First Take. I think he is ruining his reputation a little bit. And secondly, ESPN's been trying to get Mike Francesa back with Russo in some sort of programming, so they had the three of them doing First Take, and I was floored that Mike Francesa even committed to doing it. I was floored that he even took part, because he always ripped that kind of programming.
I don't know if... I mean, who knows? You know, maybe he misses being on every day. I don't know.
Oh, I think that's definitely the case. I think his ego's really grown the last couple of years when he had his big goodbye tour with WFAN. Then he came back to do like the 3 to 6:30 slide, and then he's been trying this podcast stuff. I guess it hasn't worked out. He tried the app. I haven't seen much of that, so I don't know.
You know, I've never met the man, so I don't know what kind of ego he has or doesn't have. And I usually make that judgment on my own after I meet with somebody. Usually I go a couple of times before I make a judgment on somebody. So I don't know whether he does or he doesn't. And, you know, I don't know if he gets an appearance fee for being on. I assume he would to get an appearance fee for being on. So maybe he wanted to take the cash. I have no idea. Or maybe he just wanted to do it. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to be on with somebody who had a rant of the day.
At least mine, I give some thought and you know, some logical sustenance to it. I don't just rant just to rant, you know. I have legitimate reasons for the rant.
Are you sure?
Most times, yes.
Okay.
I'll say most times, fine.
I just want to make sure. Because then you get mad at me when I give you some logic as to why something happens the way it does. Then that drives you nuts.
Yeah, but then at least I accept it after a while.
After you get mad.
These guys don't.
All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder!
By the way, the Phillies are retiring the clubhouse dancing on my own. Kyle Schwarber says that will not be the clubhouse anthem this year. Said new, you know, JT Realmuto said, "Hey, look, new year, new anthem."
Yeah, I think that's good move.
Right, and so they're going to do that. The Yankees last year, theirs was the theme to Chariots of Fire. All right, so...
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
A little slow. There's going to be a lot more about... Hey, we're going to have... Tony Knopp on the show a week from Monday. Now, we'll see where the Pac-12 is by then, but Tony's got a lot, I mean, he wants to talk about. The only reason we're not having him on now is that he is ultra busy right now. The only opening he had was maybe tomorrow, and I said, hey, look, you know, and he said, but the week of March 6th, I'm open. So, you know what? I didn't want to just, like, squeeze him in someplace. I wanted to make it so it was comfortable for him, and so we've worked it out. And he'll be on our show March 6th. Dennis Dodd wrote an article today on CBS. Like, exactly what is the Pac-12 selling? That's a really good one. Nobody knows. I mean, next month is that, to me, next month's the month. You don't have it by next month, you got big, big problems. And there's talk that what percentage of Pac-12 games might be streamed. It's not up to 50%. It's going to be way north of 50% streamed. He was talking about getting 48 million. Right now, I think they're fighting to get to 25. Now, if you're wondering, what does the Pac-12 pay now? Okay. The Pac-12 deal that expires next year pays 20.8 million on average. But 25 is way behind everybody else. And if you're wondering about the Big Ten with existing, okay, with its existing contract that will start this year with Fox, CBS, NBC, to go with, obviously, FS1 BTN as supplements. If you're wondering about, well, could they pick up Washington, Oregon? I think the only way they can do it, where they can make it financially work for the Big Ten and the current membership, is now you'd have to add in a streaming component. Because the existing networks have already told the Big Ten they're not going to give the average number to these if they were to add more schools. And again, my big issue with it is, when does it become unmanageable? Not about the money. When does it become unmanageable? I think 16 is going to be a challenge to manage. Well, if 16 is a challenge to manage, how unmanageable might 20 be? And that to me is a big part of it. How, you know, I think you've got to integrate these two schools first and then figure out, hey, okay, we can make it work. And I think there's a comfort level of going that you feel like you have the right 16 schools. Now, Burke Magnus last year told everybody straight out that it's not so much up in college about markets as much anymore. It's about rivalries. So let's just take a look at Michigan, Ohio State, rivalry, 17.1 million. Tennessee, Georgia, rivalry, 13.1 million. ACC's top one was NC State, Clemson, just about 5 million. TCU, Baylor in the Big 12, okay? You're taking Oklahoma and Texas out of the mix because they're not in the conference. They're not going to be. TCU Baylor was 4.4 million. Guess who's on the bottom? And again, you have to exclude USC and UCLA. Pac-12 was Oregon. Oregon State was the top in 22. 3.56 million. Last. Like, remember, Amazon's had layoffs, Google's had layoffs, Disney's had layoffs. The Pac-12 has hit it in such a way where now everybody's thinking about being more prudent and also making sure they have enough to make a proper bid for the NBA, which is desirable as opposed to really neat.